The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge, and you're listening to Multiple Sclerosis News Today's audio news. These are today's news highlights curated by our editorial staff. Visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. for more relevant news and patient perspectives. Keto diet improved life quality of RRMS patients in trial. Eating a ketogenic diet, one low in carbohydrates and high in fats, led to markedly less fatigue and depression for people with relapsing remitting multiple sclerosis in a small clinical trial that was designed to assess the tolerability of the dietary intervention. Measures of disability and quality of life also improved during the study while participants were eating a ketogenic diet. Overall, these results support future research to robustly explore the effectiveness of the ketogenic diet in multiple sclerosis. Though researchers stressed there is not yet enough evidence to recommend this diet for MS patients outside of closely monitored clinical trials. Results of the trial were presented at the 2022 annual meeting of the American Academy of Neurology. Full data are now reported in the Journal of Neurology, Neurosurgery, and Psychiatry in the Phase 2 study of ketogenic diets in relapsing multiple sclerosis, safety, tolerability, and potential clinical benefits. The Phase 2 trial, which was sponsored by the University of Virginia, included 64 people with RRMS. Two of the participants were teenagers, ages 15 and 17. The rest were adults. The majority of participants were female and white. During the trial, participants were instructed to eat a ketogenic diet for 6 months. The term ketogenic diet is sometimes used to broadly refer to any diet that is relatively low in carbohydrates. Here, the researchers used a more technical definition, specifically defined as a diet that promotes ketosis, or when the body burns fat instead of carbohydrates as its main source of energy. During the trial, participants' urine was evaluated daily to assess whether their diets was inducing ketosis. Those with a positive test for ketosis on 85% or more days over the 6-month trial duration were considered adherent to the diet. A total of 83% of participants remained in the study for the 6 months and met the adherence criteria. Two participants withdrew from the study due to digestive side effects from the diet, including nausea and loss of appetite. Others were lost to follow-up or were considered not adherent. The study's main goal was to assess the tolerability of the ketogenic diet in people with RRMS. The researchers noted, this study was not designed to demonstrate efficacy, which will require a larger randomized controlled trial. Among the participants who completed the entire study, the most common side effects attributed to the ketogenic diet were constipation, 43%, diarrhea, 18%, nausea, 9%, weight gain, 9%, fatigue, 5%, worsened depression or anxiety, 5%, and acne, 5%. Changes in the timing and heaviness of periods were reported in 27% of menstruating participants. However, about 1 in 4 patients did not experience any side effects from the diet, and the majority who experienced side effects noted these during the first 2 weeks, with subsequent resolution. The researchers noted, participants underwent a battery of assessments before starting on the ketogenic diet and additional assessments during the study out to 6 months. Results showed a nearly 50% decline in participant-reported scores for depression and fatigue while on the ketogenic diet. Participants also reported substantial increases in physical and mental quality of life. The average score on the expanded disability status scale decreased significantly by 0.5 points. Indicating slightly less impactful disability. Average scores on the 9-hole peg test, a measure of hand dexterity, and on the 6-minute walking test, which measures walking ability, also improved significantly. Average body mass index, a ratio of weight to height, decreased significantly over the 6-month study. A number of measures of body fat also decreased, as did levels of a pro-inflammatory, fat-deprived hormone called leptin. Levels of adiponectin, another fat-derived hormone that has inflammatory effects, increased on the ketogenic diet. We showed that the ketogenic diet is a well-tolerated dietary intervention in patients with relapsing MS that leads to weight loss, reduced fatigue and depression, and improved quality of life, researchers wrote. Our results support the rationale for a large-scale study of a ketogenic diet as a complementary treatment for MS, the team added. Our data do not, however, support widespread adoption of ketogenic diets as a therapeutic strategy for MS outside of a clinical trial. The scientists stressed that participants in this trial were monitored by an expert dietitian and underwent routine laboratory and neurological examinations. They noted that a ketogenic diet could theoretically lead to health problems like vitamin deficiencies, abnormal fat levels, or kidney stones. The team also noted that this study is limited by the lack of a control group on a regular diet against which to make comparisons. While the current study lacks controls, the findings herein are essential for next step Phase 3 trial design, they wrote. Given our data, future research should aim to study the ketogenic diet as a complementary therapeutic approach to the treatment of MS, the scientists concluded. This news article was written by Marissa Wexler, MS, on May 6, 2022. Click the link in the description below to read more on this and other topics of interest on the MS News Today's website. The MS Wire, a column by Ed Tobias, published on May 6, 2022. An accessible cruise with family, canes, and a scooter was a breeze. It's not easy going for a cruise when a scooter and a couple of canes come along for the trip. I've done it with success a number of times in the past, and planning helps a lot. My wife and I just returned from our first cruise since the pandemic began. It was also the first cruise for us with our son and his family. Much was the same as before the pandemic, but some things were a bit different. A few small speed bumps also appeared that hadn't happened on earlier cruises. Cruise planning starts early. One of the keys to an enjoyable cruise is snagging an accessible cabin. These cabins are larger, sometimes a lot larger, than a standard cabin of the same class. That allows room for a scooter or a wheelchair in the cabin, which for safety reasons aren't allowed to be stored in the passageway. These cabins also have a roll-in shower with a handheld showerhead and a pull-down seat. On this cruise, the cabin had something I'd never used before, an automatic cabin door that opened with the swipe of a key card when entering or the push of a button when exiting, and it remained open long enough for me to easily roll in and out. But you need to move quickly to get one. Out of 875 cabins on this ship, fewer than a dozen were accessible. Smaller ships may have only two accessible balcony cabins, plus a few more inside. An early reservation is key. A travel agent who is familiar with the cruise line and handicapped cruising can be a big help. The website Cruise Critic has a forum full of additional tips. Getting aboard. My wife and I drove to the port of Miami, where dropping off our luggage outside at the terminal was a breeze. I didn't even have to get out of the car. The parking garage had plenty of spaces available, but there were no curb cuts to allow me to drive my scooter off the curb and alongside the large bus that shuttled us to the terminal. Fortunately, my scooter only weighs 35 pounds, so it wasn't a big deal for the bus driver to lift it off the curb. I also had to manage 4 of 5 steps to get on and off the bus, which was difficult but doable. Check-in at the dock was quick and simple and included an on-site COVID-19 test. After a swab and 20-minute wait, we were aboard. Prior to arrival, everyone had to provide documentation of being fully vaccinated. Once on the ship, we had a short wait until our cabin was ready, and our bags were waiting at the door when it was. Scooting around. It was a breeze getting around the ship. All of the passenger doorways are automatic, and there were no difficult thresholds to cross. However, while many restrooms were marked handicapped, none had automatic doors. Strange. Another problem I found was that none of the 3 swimming pools were accessible to me. I can usually get into a pool if I can drive my scooter to a chair and use my canes to walk to and from the pool's edge. On this ship, however, the distance was either too far or I had to walk over wet and slippery tiles to reach the edge. No swimming for me. It was easy to drive my scooter along the gangplank to get on and off at our 2 shore stops. On one of them, an island owned by the cruise line, beach wheelchairs were available to get me onto the sand. Unfortunately, we weren't allowed to push them into the water, so again, no swimming. Since this was a short cruise, we didn't have any formal shore excursions. We've done them on other cruises, and I've found that a travel agent is a big help in determining which excursions I can do, which I can't, and which I can do with the help of a hired driver and guide. A guide allowed me to take a gondola ride during a cruise to Venice and a tour of the ruins at Ephesus, Turkey. Overall, it was a ball. We had our son, daughter-in-law, and two grandkids with us for this trip, their first cruising experience, and we had a great time. Making it even more fun, the other grandparents and an uncle were along. Sometimes it seemed as crazy as Christmas. To read more columns from Ed Tobias and our other contributors, visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. Follow the link in the description below. This is MS News Today's audio news. Subscribe to our channel to never miss an episode. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts, hit save. Thanks for tuning in.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.